Good afternoon. It is our first Sunday of the month, so it is our monthly singing. And we're going to go ahead and get right on started. To start off with, is there any song that people want to hear specifically? And I'll write them down.
Yeah, give them a couple of minutes.
Victor, you don't have any song you want?
No. That's okay. We can... I guess song leaders get to pick their own. And that's okay. We can make it happen. I'm going to regret this, but let's go ahead and do 261. 261 to be our opening song. And I'm going to regret it because high notes are going to be an issue tonight.
What?
I said, I'm going to regret it because high notes are going to be an issue with me tonight. No. Song request we have, 362.
Hey Matt, we got a couple more numbers here.
Fantastic. 267.
326.
267, 326.
156.
426. 426. Was that a question or an ask?
She said yes.
Okay. All right, that gives us a better start.
One more, 479.
479.
Number nine?
Number nine in general, okay.
362.
300, wait, I'm doing that one right now.
That's what she said, she asked, she was wrong.
Oh, 362 right now, yes. Okay. There's a bigger list now. 362. Good warm up. No, so.
Precious indeed,
is my Savior to me.
I'm redeemed.
And now, Mike.
I'm so appreciative of the fact that we have Matt as one of our song leaders. He does such a good job.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Number 473 is a song I'm going to select before I take one or two off the board behind me. And I was just noticing this, interestingly enough. This song, which is announcing the imminent coming of our Lord and our Savior, was written in 1911. It's been over 100 years since this song was written. But we're still waiting for Christ to come in glory. You could be B flat. Sorry, I was singing bass, so I don't trust me.
I was trying to sing out what I can.
No, so. Oh, how sweet 'twill be to meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured
when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet will be when he comes in the stars. What joy will be when he comes in glory by and by. We will have our robes all white as snow when he comes in.
Get that high up there. Let's see. What is 479? 479. I think I can handle this one. Number 479. Same key, so. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. probably won't get Ebola if I drink this, so I'm going to take a sip. Oh, Mike drank from it, so he's still living, so I'll be fine. Okay. Did we do 267?
We have not done that yet.
We have not.
Okay. I haven't even looked at it.
I should have looked at it first. 267. I can handle that one. I don't know. There's been days. Okay. No, I get it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
All right. We'll have our prayer at this time.
My guess is it built that second.
Let's approach our God in prayer. Gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we believe you love us, and as we've been singing, we know that Jesus loves me and loves us all. We thank you, dear Lord, that your love is wonderfully good, that you care about us in a way that's hard for us to understand, for we are not worthy of all that you have done. But you love us just the same. And so thank you, Father, this evening as we are here singing these songs together and lifting up voices of praise, because you deserve the praise that we bring. Father, we thank you for the salvation that you have made possible, that you knew, Father, that we would sin, and you had a plan, and such a plan that no one could imagine, that you would have your Son come to this world to empty himself, take on the form of a man, and Father, to submit to the death that he did on the cross. So wonderful are these things, so amazing, dear Lord. We must cry out and sing to you and give thanks in our song and give you praise and speak out the joys which we have because you are our Savior. Lord, we are grateful to you for every gift of mercy. We thank you, Father, for watching over us and taking care of us in our time of need. We think of those of our number who are ill or suffering medical problems, Father. We think of our brother Andrew, who's just recently gone through this procedure, this oblation on his heart. Pray, dear Lord, that you would bring him through this time and as he heals, and that he might have the benefit of the what the procedure was intended, but that you, Father, would stop the AFib that he's suffering, dear Lord, and grant him a normal heartbeat, that he would enjoy, Lord, many years of health and strength. Be with him, we pray. We ask, Father, that you be with Marilyn and the medical troubles that she has, and for for Ashton and William, and pray, dear Lord, that you would be with the boys that are struggling with health issues at this time, having colds. We pray, Father, for the near family and the colds that they're suffering. We grant all that all might be lifted up and strengthened and come through this time of seasons that we have colds and flus. Father, we pray for the Webbers and the challenges that they're facing as they strive to get guardianship of their great nephew. We pray, dear Lord, that you would see this through, that they might be able to have that guardianship and might benefit young Legend, that he would have the love and care that he needs, Father. We pray that you would strengthen them for this challenge and for the work that is ahead of them. Make their path smooth, we pray. Father, others who may have difficulties, for Kelly and the eye trouble that she's having, and we pray, dear Lord, that you would take that from her and that you would strengthen her and her vision. Pray for those of our number who are older and having the difficulties that age brings. We pray for each one who is struggling with age-related issues, that you would comfort them and strengthen them. Be with Phyllis, Dave Shipp's wife, and that she's had this heart attack and the stents put in. We pray that you would grant the benefit that those were intended to give, that she might be strengthened, that also, Father, she might remember her commitment that she made at one time and renew that to you. And for any of our number, dear Lord, who's no longer faithful in their commitment to you, Father, we pray that you would bring about the necessary actions and the whatever it would take to bring them back to faithfulness and to an acceptable walk with you, dear Lord. Thank you, Father, for this evening that we have this chance to be encouraged together. We thank you, Father, for this family of Christians. And though we are few this evening, Father, we are grateful that you were with us, that your Son is here with us. We magnify your name and give praise to you, for you are wonderfully good. And we long for the day, dear Lord, that we can be with you in heaven. Even though we don't deserve it, Father, we thank you for the gift that you've given us, for the hope that is in our hearts, that we will be with you forever and ever. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. While I'm up here, how about we sing a few more songs? We sang 267, right?
Yes.
Okay, how about 326?
Yeah,
let's do that. 326. Trust and obey. I think Don said something like that on the Lord's table this morning about trusting and obeying. Let's sing this song together as we strive to do the best we can to have faith in our Lord and obey his will.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy.
156, I think. Let's see. Let's take a look at that one. 156. So, let's talk about the story of Jesus. 156. Tell me the story of Jesus. No greater story ever told.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Let's put, what is that song? Let's take a look. Oh. Okay. Let's sing that. 4 to 6. Just knocking these right off. Four 26.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary.
I look around at the number of people who are here tonight and wonder how people can think of singing as unimportant. You look at it in the Bible, and the longest book in the Bible is a book of songs. And yet, to us, they don't seem important. They teach us many things. They're mostly, obviously, all written by man, except for those that have been adopted from Psalms. But they do teach us something. And I can remember in times when I was having problems and I could come and listen to a sermon and maybe, but not likely, it would cheer me up. But almost always, at least one of the songs would.
Amen.
That's a great many things. Now, I'm going to lead number 9. Not a song I will normally lead, but it's on the board and it's the last one there, so we'll clear it. I'm going to skip the third verse because I don't believe you can find in the Bible what is taught in the third verse. I may believe it, but that doesn't make it right. Number 9.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tempted skies with heavenly hue.
From the star God, from the star God, from the star God.
What's that?
I have another request if you want.
Okay.
There's one more request if you're.
I hear.
Oh, okay.
425.
That one I know I can sing. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than closed in the earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine in my sky, blessed sunshine in my sky, while the leaves flow, happy moments, happy moments. Supper, let's sing number 180. Number 180.
180 or 180?
180.
180. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love, wonderful.
Is there, Bill, you wanted to, Lord's Supper, correct? Okay. Anyone else? Oh, okay, very good. We sang number 156 earlier tonight, and we sang it this morning as well, and that's fine. I selected it as the song before the Lord's Supper. And I love the simplicity of the message that this is providing. That is, can you tell the story of Jesus? Can any of us here just tell our friends, our neighbors, the story of Jesus?
Amen.
I'm not saying get in a theological argument. I'm saying just, somebody might be thinking, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Amen.
Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. I was thinking about the message that Mike delivered this morning. And you know, don't take this wrong, but there's one example Jesus doesn't provide us. And that's the example of him praying for forgiveness. He never prayed for forgiveness, not for himself. And so we learn from him and we see by his example how we should strive always to avoid sin. Tell of the years of his labor. Tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story, so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while I whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. The chorus goes, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. We gather at this table to remember that story, to remember Jesus. This isn't, as they would say, just a story. It's a fact. And we believe it. And we remember him every Lord's Day. Through these things that he has consecrated to that purpose. Let us give thanks for the bread, because it is to us Christ's body. Dear God, Savior, as we sang this evening, that love laid the plan from eternity for your son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to suffer, to be tempted, yet to be triumphant, to be nailed to the cross, to die on that cross, to be buried, and then to powerfully raise again. And Father, we know that his life was consecrated unto you wholly. And we know that his body is to us that which was given for our redemption. And we ask, Father, that those who are partaking of this unleavened bread hold it in the reverence that's due that body that was given on the cross, and to partake of it in remembrance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine, because to us who remember Jesus, consider this the new covenant in his blood. Father and Lord, God, our Redeemer, as we reflect upon what Jesus accomplished upon the cross by your predetermined will and foreknowledge, that while upon the cross he shed his own blood there, and he did this in order to pay for the debt of our sins. May we, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which is also called the blood of the grape, remember Jesus' blood and remember that precious, most precious of all price that was paid in his holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We will leave the basket at the table here for those who wish to give, who didn't have opportunity this morning. Let's give thanks. Father, who richly blesses us with all things in this life and all things spiritual, we lay up before you the fruit of our labor. We ask you, Father, that bless it to your purpose and to your the accomplishment of your will. So much of this world's abundance is wasted on things which do not last. But we know, Father, that that which we lay up as treasure in heaven is not subject to rust or moth or any such corruption, but shall be remembered eternally. And Father, we rejoice at the opportunity participate in the work that you have set forth to be accomplished. And we pray that it would be blessed through the efforts of those who administer it in this congregation. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it wouldn't be a real singing if we didn't read a couple of verses. So let's read a couple of verses. Let's read Jude. For those of you who don't know, and I know you all know, but Jude was the Lord's brother. It says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though, you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulge in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in the undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Canaan, and for the pay that they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up on their own shame like foam. Wandering stars from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and all of their harsh things, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, 'In the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts.' These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Mike, don't take this the wrong way. But I would never be opposed to it an entire day where we just read the Bible out loud, as that's how the Hebrews were taught. They were taught by oral history, by just reading the scriptures every day. I would not be opposed to that. That's no offense to you. That being said, I'm going to interject my own thoughts on something. Go ahead and open up to Matthew 27, and we're going to start in verse 51. Matthew 27, verse 51. And I understand we're already going over a little over on time, but our song of invitation is 269. I know I'm throwing a lot at you at once. But, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went out into the holy city and appeared to many. And that is describing what happened right at Jesus' death.
Amen.
Precisely the moment that happened, there was an earthquake, you see dead bodies rising everywhere, and somewhere in the temple, the curtain that splits the holy place from the most holy place splits from top to bottom. And everyone who has studied a little bit longer than those who are under 18 knows the significance of what's going on over here. But for those of you who are under 18, you'll get a little bit of a lesson today. So the first thing we want to go over is the blood of Jesus. Why is that significant? And to find the answer to that, we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 16. And then we're going to start in verse 11. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill a bull as a sin offering for himself. And he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of sweet incense from beaten small, and he shall bring it inside the veil within the most holy place. And put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and that cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, Ark of the Covenant, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood of his finger seven times. What do I have that into? Then he shall kill a goat for the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and to do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all of their sins. And he shall do for the tent of meeting which dwells in them the midst of their uncleanliness. Jesus' blood replaces that of bulls and goats, quite literally, on the Day of Atonement for the Jews. As for the veil, if we jump over to 1 Kings chapter 6, I'm just going to read 19 and 20. It reads, "The inner sanctuary, most holy place, he prepared the innermost part of the house so that and to set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and he also overlaid an altar of cedar." So there was a veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And this room was 20 by 20 by 20 cubits, which roughly translates to 30 by 30 by 30 feet today. And in front of the veil, I didn't read, there are two cherubs, which are angelic-type creatures. And they are 10 feet, 15 feet high by 15 feet wide. And there's two of them that kind of protect protect the veil. And Aaron, or the high priest, only once a year, and there was no one allowed in the temple at that time. You have to imagine a 100 cubit feet, so 150 feet by 75 feet. There's only one person And I've read that they attached a rope to him so that they could pull him out in case he died. I've heard that. I don't know the validity of it. But Jesus also replaces the role of the veil, for he is the most holy. God is the most holy. And with his death, it separated the most holy from the rest of us. Now all of us have access to God. All of us have access to Jesus, and all of us have access to redemption. Amen. Praise be to God for that.
Amen and hallelujah.
Amen and hallelujah. And the last verse that I'm going to talk about today is in Hebrews, which kind of sums everything up in a nice, pretty little package. Chapter 9, in the first 14 verses. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section, in which there was a lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties, but into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. But this the Holy Spirit indicates that the way the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but of the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen.
That's just a quick review of what we do here. We serve a living God and his living Son and the living Holy Ghost, and we are redeemed of our sins through the blood of that Son. And so what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. So let's go ahead and sing that now. If you have a spiritual need, whether that be a confession, you want to get baptized, or you want prayers, go ahead and take this time and come on up to the front as we stand and sing. Number 269.
No. Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh,
on, have a seat.
Just a few announcements that Jeff and Sarah Neer and family are home with colds. Isaiah Main has had a bad cough for 10 days. He's getting better, but it still sounds pretty bad. Note from Dave here, great big thanks for all your prayers. Prayers and thoughts for my wife's heart attack. She is doing well. Please keep Phyllis in your prayers, or please keep praying is what he says here, said Dave Shipp. Most of us, or a few of us at least, know Phyllis and would love to see her turn her heart back to God.
Amen.
Please pray for the Webbers. We will be filing paperwork tomorrow for guardianship of our great nephew. Please pray that it all goes well. Thank you. Bartels are still in Florida. I will be coming back, I believe, on the 15th, is what I remember. The Cooks are in Yuma, trying to get property there cleaned up, ready for sale. It belonged to, I believe, her parents. And so they should be back whenever they get that taken care of. And that's all the announcements that I know of. We have this card from Dorothy Baver that I'll be posting out in the foyer for those who didn't hear it this morning. So with that, we'll turn it over to Sam for the closing prayer.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we are so thankful for this day that you have blessed us with, and this opportunity for us to come together as saints and be edified together. We thank you for the time that we could spend worshiping you and praising you in songs. We ask you to be with those that could not be here today and be with those that are sick and help them through their ailments and bring them back here safely to us. Lord, I ask you that you be with us in this upcoming week. We really appreciate the time that we could spend in your word today. Help us to meditate this week on your word and be ready to wake up each morning to shine our light, to find opportunity to practice the things that we have read in your word. Amen. Be with us, guide us, help us not to stumble. We thank you for your son as our example. We thank you that you sent him down for us. We thank you that we have him as such an amazing and wonderful Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.